Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wicken Garden Podcast. This is Halloween special episode one, and we've got some interesting interviews for you tonight. Take care of some business here at the outset. If you've got a cryptid story, a haunting, a UFO story, we'd love to hear it. If you could get together with us either on our Facebook page, which is Wicked Garden Podcast, or via email, which is
WickedGardenPodcast@gmail.com.
And then we also have a hotline number now. If you got a short story, it's less than 3 minutes. You can come on and just record the short story on our phone, which is 609-800-5130. The other thing you can do on there, too, is you can record break-ins for us. So you can just go on there and, you know, you say, hey, I'm Mike from Brigantine, and I'm listening to the Wicked Garden Podcast. So you can put those on, and we'll put you on the show. Shout out to our patrons. We got two new patrons this week. That would be Lynette Gray and Penny Brown. Thank you guys so much. You guys make the show happen. So I'm your host, Mike.
I'm your co-host, Tracy.
And our first guest is Diane. And I met Diane. She is part of the Atlantic City and UFO paranormal group that we gathered together to tell stories. And I met Diane there. And Diane is from Jersey. And she's got some interesting stories. So, Diane, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And it feels
nice
like
to be here.
Yeah, it feels like we've done this before.
A little deja vu.
Yeah, it's good.
So, for the listeners, we did this yesterday and we recorded it.
And so annoying.
There's absolutely no reason why the file should have not been there. We see the data, we can see everything, but for some reason it's not there. So Diane was kind enough to come on with us again this morning. It's very early on a Sunday, and tell us her stories again. So thanks, Diane. I appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
So you were originally from Jersey and didn't have too much going on. You know, you weren't really a paranormal experiencer, and then you went up to Maine and some things started to happen.
That's correct. So, well, I moved to Maine in 2000, well, 99, and I was up there for quite some time before something actually happened. So I don't know if it's the area or what, but when I moved into my log cabin, which I had for the past 8 years, that's when some stuff started happening. And, you know, and this is good, too, because I'm starting to realize, like, I'm starting to try to put events together to see, like, for myself, what could have possibly brought this on.
Right.
So anyway, so in 2012-13, I was snowshoeing with a friend of mine, Mike, and we were just goofing off, taking pictures and whatever, and we were on our way out, and I kind of got stuck trying to figure out, and I admitted yesterday I had a BlackBerry, so I'll admit it again. I was on my BlackBerry, and I'm like, the thing took amazing pictures, and so I was trying to, you know, attach them to emails and put them on Facebook and do all kinds of stuff, and I was a little bit not good with it. You know, I was just trying to figure it out. Right. So my friend Mike got kind of annoyed, and he walked away, and he's like, well, I'm going to walk out. You do that, and I'll, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to do this, and then I, you know, I was finished. So I got my snowshoes, and I'm walking through, and then all of a sudden, I'm walking a little faster, and I'm not creating, like, I'm not trying to catch up to him. I'm just, like, walking, because we weren't really that far from the car. It was maybe a football field away.
Right.
So we're walking and walking, and I'm walking faster. And I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm in a full jog, almost. Like
in snowshoes. Holy
in geez. Snowshoes. And that was, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, how is this happening? And
right.
I'm going to wind up tripping because the snowshoes just kind of hang onto the fronts of your feet.
Right.
You know, you stick your feet into a little holder, and the backs just kind of go wherever. And these weren't the greatest snowshoes. So I was kind of worried about tripping. And then I'm looking at trees, and I'm like thinking, I'm going to hit a tree. This is bad. I'm like, I don't know how this is happening.
Right.
I threw myself. Well, I actually ran past Mike, and he's looking at me like,
where are you going? What?
Yeah, what are you? I think you're on fire or something. So I was, he's just looking at me, and I threw myself into a snowbank. I just didn't, you know, I'm like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to stop.
Like, and a kid going down the bunny slope the first time, they just fall down, right?
Yeah, exactly. Stop. Yeah, exactly, because you don't really know how to stop yourself. So I threw myself into the snowbank. He comes over, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, And, you know, I'm like, I'm an easily, you know, I do things silly, you know, with friends to just laugh because that's just my character. And he might have thought that I was kidding, but anyway, he was just like, what are you doing? So he helps me up. We walk out, you know, and we get on with our day. Not really thinking a whole lot about it, you know, just kind of, that was weird. And so it was later on that year was, you know, so the winter goes by. That was like at the end of the winter, the end of the next summer. I was in my car and I had gone food shopping. I was real close to North Conway, New Hampshire, and that's where I used to do all my food shopping on Sunday, just the habit I got into. And so I have my little car, and I usually back up the driveway whenever I have a chance because it kind of slopes down, and I like to be able to drive in and see what's coming. It's kind of, you know, woodsy and stuff. So I backed into my driveway. I backed up to the next to the porch, and I'm, you know, pull the key out of the ignition, and I'm grabbing my stuff, and I heard somebody whisper in my ear, "Hey," and it was in my right ear. Yeah, it was like, "Hey," like somebody, like they're trying to get my attention, like they're standing there, and they're like waving, and I'm ignoring them, and they're like, "Hey,"
yeah,
creepy. And yeah, and I just like pretended I didn't hear it because I really didn't want to have heard it, you know. I was just like, okay.
Well, you're kind of in shock at that moment, right? Somebody just whispered in your ear, and this was at your log cabin, right?
Ain't nobody around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And I can email you guys pictures of the cabin. I mean,
it's awesome. We'll put them up.
When you look at the house, it looks like really cool, super cool. But when I first bought it, it was so, you know, not taken very good care of, I guess you could say. It was, it needed paint, it needed updating bad. So it was a little creepy, which is what I found, you know, likable about it. I thought it was really cool. I always see potential in houses. That's my trade.
Yeah,
so,
that's what you do.
Yeah. So, you know, but anyway, so after that, you know, I really didn't say anything. I said something to my friend Mike because, you know, he's not a judgmental guy. He just likes to take facts and put them together. He just does that. So in the meantime, I was hiking with another friend, a totally different, you know, area, time of year, group of people. And we went up to Frost Mountain, which is an entirely different area. The first area was in a town called Lymington. And it was by the Saco River, and it was just, you know, the river was running, the snow was melting, and that was the snowshoeing trip.
Right.
So the next time I'm hiking up Frost Mountain with a friend of mine, Scott, who was a good friend at FedEx Freight, which was where I was working at the time. And so we're up, you know, we did our hike up the mountain, and the hiking trail is actually on old tote roads or logging roads, however you'd call them. They were originally roads that went up at one point into neighborhoods and houses that were up there. Maine was a really big farming community. So if you have the opportunity to walk down hiking trails or go down ATVing trails, you'll see a lot of foundations and little cemeteries and graveyards and things like that, because it was really very populated at one time in the early 1900s. So anyway, we're kind of coming down, and there was a section where the two kind of old tote roads met, and there was a foundation, a tiny little graveyard, and then an area on the other side that was kind of open. You could tell people went up there and lit fires and, you know, kind of toasted marshmallows and did that kind of thing or whatever. I don't know if there was nefarious things going on there. I don't really know. But anyway,
right.
So we're, you know, on the way down, make a big right hand turn, and we're starting to go by that cemetery and graveyard, which was on the right hand side, or the foundation in the little graveyard. And I get pushed down to the ground, and this time it was actually being pushed, like, I mean, it was all I had to get my hands ahead of me to not just smash my face into the ground. It was violent, and honestly it felt like somebody had like ripped my feet backwards and pushed my face forward. That's just the best way I can describe
that's
it.
That's pretty violent, right?
Yeah,
it was, you know, it was bad. And, you know, the guy I was with, he thought I was having an aneurysm. He's like, "I know you're having an aneurysm. Oh, my God, how am I going to get you down?" And he's, like, acting all strange. And And I just thought something just pushed me down, you know, and then I got the whole thing that happens after something like that happens to you. Like my heart was beating in my throat and I was just like shaking and sweating. It was just like, it was bad. It was bad. You know, yesterday was a really good thing because like it made me think about like that day, you know, and you know how as time goes by, it seems less and less severe, you know, when you think back, oh, well, I guess it really wasn't that bad. But yesterday kind of jogged my memory and it made me think, you know what? It really was bad. It was mad and it knew it could tell me about it in some way. And it did. And after that, you know, we got to the car and Scott was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, we should go to the doctor hospital. I'm like, no, it wasn't anything like that. And I didn't know how to tell him. He's a skeptic. I can say, yeah, you know, it was some kind of force that pushed me down. And he would be like, no way, you're crazy. Right. So I didn't really want to address that with him. Because I know what kind of, you know, anyway.
Yeah, they're annoying.
We are not annoying. We are not. We just want to know what the facts are and what you experienced. Yeah. And that's
exactly.
All.
It's like that's open all. Your mind a little great. and just think of the possibilities.
Absolutely.
But so how far apart were these locations that these two incidents occurred?
Probably, I would say a good 40 minutes.
Wow.
So the second one was right by Freiburg, which I don't know about people here in New Jersey, but the Freiburg Fair is a big deal in New England and everybody goes there. And it was like 5 minutes east of Freiburg. So you go through Freiburg and then you're in New Hampshire. So it's like Western Maine.
Right.
And then the Lymington was by the Saco River. It was a town that was right next to the town that I lived in, kind of north, and it's called Lymington. So it was in Freiburg. The one on Frost Mountain was in Brownfield. That's what the picture, when I took pictures at the top of the mountain, that's what town my GPS said I was in. But it could either be Freiburg or Brownfield. They're right next to each other. So, and they're a good 40 minutes apart.
Yeah, regardless.
You know, not as the crow flies, but.
Yeah, they're far away from each other. Regardless. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't really, you know, I don't even know. Like the one was like gently being, you know, pushed a little slow and then faster. And then all of a sudden just being pushed down face first was, you know, it seemed like it was something different was there.
Yeah. And you had some wild dreams too going on when all this
stuff was going on too, I did.
Right?
I was hiking was my thing for the past 10 years that I lived in Maine. And I was, you know, kind of hiking up to a field and there was a big old house in the background. And, so it was like, it was cool out, I guess, but not at first. I thought it might've been winter, but it was probably late fall or fall, but warm enough out for people to be outside. I was assuming this big house was a restaurant, which is, you know, a common thing in Maine. They take old houses and make them into restaurants and try to, you know, make the authenticity of it being a historic thing. Make it popular. And anyway, so I'm like kind of walking up the field that's kind of on a slope to this house and I'm looking at people and I'm in my dream. I think I was thinking that I'm going to just order a drink or a soda or something going to this house. And I'm walking up and I see people on the patio. Then there was like another area to the right, which was the back of the house. And there were two people sitting at a table talking to one another. And above them, it was a two-story house. Above them was a window. And there was like a black figure. It looked very ominous, black figure. Like, and I felt that it was going to be harmful to these people that were sitting at the table. So I'm walking up, I'm running, I'm trotting, and I'm screaming at these people. I'm like, hey. And I'm like trying to tell them that there's something above them. And I thought they were ignoring me, but I was telling this dream to my friend Mike, and he said, I think you were the ghost in that dream. And I was like, yeah, I must have been.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's an intuitive guy.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
I can relate on the crazy dream thing. So I may be a skeptic, but I am a crazy dreamer. So.
Yeah. I mean, and typically I have dreams like, you know, stupid stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, but this dream was sequential and it made sense to me.
And vivid.
Yeah,
it was vivid. Yeah. It was, I mean, this figure looked, it didn't have an expression on its face, But it was just, and okay, so let me describe the outline, because I did have this dream on, I'd say, more than four occasions.
Sure.
It was almost like it was standing facing one direction, and it looked like a cowboy with a cowboy hat on.
Okay.
And then, and it was just black. It was just a black figure. And then it was standing forward, and it changed to, like, I don't know. It was almost, you know what, thinking about it, it was almost like it was messing with me. Like, I'm going to show you this cool-looking cowboy with a hat on, because that was the most defining feature, was the cowboy hat. And then it turns and looks out the window and looks down at these people, and that's when I realized it was just bad. It was just bad news. And then I woke up, you know, I'm like yelling right. and screaming, and that was it, you know, well, and it always turned.
One thing's for sure, you know, something up there is trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
It's doing what it's doing to you when you're snowshoeing. It's doing what it's doing to you when you're hiking. You know, you're having dreams about it. It's whispering to you in the driveway. I mean, if it is all one entity, but, you know.
Yeah, it could be multiple entities trying to get your attention.
Something's definitely trying to get your attention up there.
Yeah. Sure. And maybe and then after I sold the house, it was, like I was telling you guys, it was shutting the light off in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, when I would take a shower, when I'd go in the morning to take a shower, I flipped the light on, and then it flipped it off. And then, you know, I was messing with the breakers to see if it was a breaker. And then I go in there, flip it on and off, and it goes back on and it stays on. I'm like, okay. At first I just thought it was a fluke. I mean, I always try to, you know, be the skeptic. It was just a fluke. Sure. It won't happen again. But then, it did. 2 days later, it happened again. I go in there, I go to turn the light on, and it was in the morning only too. It was only in the morning.
Yeah, and this is when you were packing up too, right? You were kind of getting out of there. Yeah.
Yep, that's when I was packing up. I sold the house. I was on my way out. I was, you know, the house became more and more empty every day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking whatever it was trying to let me know it didn't want me to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it liked picking on me. Hey, like, let's keep
you were
around.
An easy target.
Freaking her out.
Right?
Yeah, like I told you yesterday, we had a you know, I had an incident actually that I related on the show before, and I won't bore everybody with it again. But another thing that we had happen was we were putting finishing touches on the basement. We were actually putting a gaming table back into a spot when we moved up in Bethlehem. And it was the last thing. It was it. We were done. And then, you know, we were going to crack open a beer and putting this thing over into the corner. We put it down and this voice goes, "That looks wonderful." Like that,
yeah,
out
crazy.
Of nowhere. And both of us were there, and it was omnidirectional. Yeah. It was like the announcements on, you know, the you know, little speaker when you were in grade school. It just came omnidirectional. It didn't, like, pull your head a certain way. It was just like it was watching us. It was crazy.
And me being the skeptic, I bounced around the house. The doors were all shut. The TVs were all off. There weren't any radios.
We went even outside just to look.
There was no one outside.
Anybody was walking on the... walking in the yard or anything like that. We went everywhere, but nothing, man. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I think it upsets them when, you know, like they see stuff coming in and out or whatever. You hear it all the time, you know, people make renovations or whatever.
Yeah. And the good thing with you guys is you both heard it.
Yes.
You know,
right.
So you can back up each other's story. I mean, I've told this story to people and they just listen to me and they're so dismissive. And I'm like, you know what? The thing about it is, I think that people that are dismissive are just not open enough to possibilities.
Bingo.
You know, it's like everything is black and white. Well, with me, not everything is black and white because it's just not, you know, I
see it all the time in this. I see what happens is people get shocked, you know, by one major event, like maybe somebody will see a UFO or something crazy will happen. And then when they're open to it, they start noticing more stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not your it's not your perception changing. It's just your senses tuning into it a little bit more. That's really what I think it is.
Yeah. And it's making more sense of things that happen to you or around you that, you know, or originally you would just chalk it up as like the keys be in one spot and then you can't find them and then they're back in the same spot where you just look, you know?
Exactly.
See, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I mean, that's never happened to me, but I know that does happen to people.
Right.
And I'm like, so and I think that most people would just say, oh, I thought I looked there. I guess I didn't. But people that know they did and will admit to the fact that it's, you know, bizarre and possible that they weren't there, you know, and then you open up your mind to the things that created the problem. And that's what makes it nice to be able to talk to you guys. Like I said, it's just nice to,
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of stuff go on, and it does. It just, you know, like I see everything through that lens now. So it's good to have Tracy around to balance it out, you know, but it's interesting too, because like we were telling you yesterday, there's been some things that have happened over the last couple of months, and that's kind of, you know, like changed her perspective a little bit. So I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but for sure, once you start having these experiences, it becomes easier to have them. That's for sure.
Exactly. I think it just opens you up to, you know, once you say, hey, you know, there's a possibility that there's other things here.
Right.
You know, I think maybe those things know that you're more open to be receptive to them too. I just don't like, I didn't like getting pushed down, but you know what? If I have to get pushed down again, just to make a point or just to prove that, even if it just comforts one person that has been pushed down and doesn't know why, you know, they're not alone,
right.
You know, just to be able
that's
to.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because it's scary. And when you're pushed down in front of somebody that thinks you're having an aneurysm and you're,
like, your boyfriend's terrorized for life.
Yeah, you know, it's like, no, I'm not. This something just pushed me down, you know. Oh, that can't even be possible. So, you know. It's like, yeah, it's possible, and it just happened in front of you, but, you know.
People's overall attitudes about the supernatural and the paranormal are ridiculous. The same people who would do that and tell you, you know, or give you, you know, the role of the eyes or whatever, are the same people that are going to go home and tell their kids, you know, hey, you can be anything you want to, you just have to put your mind to it. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, just think about it and just to visualize it and it'll happen. Well, when you're doing that, that's what's going on. You're creating an idea becomes matter. And that's what happens. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, you know, when these spirits are there. I mean, like you had said yesterday, you know, we are energy and we pass from one form into another. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now when you went to Jersey, kind of things died down, right? Whatever happened kind of stayed where it was for now.
Yeah. I guess it's still in the house. I really don't know. I went back to Maine to visit friends, and I have an ATV and a trailer that I keep registered in Maine.
Right.
So, and that's in the town that I lived in. So I did take a ride by the house, but it looks as if the people bought it as a second home. I don't know what their intentions were when they bought it, but it appeared to me to be a second home. So I don't know if whatever is there is still there or if it's just waiting for them to be around to show itself.
Right.
But I'm kind of thinking, you know, whatever it was, it followed me to Lymington and then it followed me to Brownfield and it, you know, in the woods, you know, it never happened. Like nothing ever happened when I was at work or on my way to work or while I was walking around my neighborhood. I'd walk around my neighborhood like every day I possibly could. I would do like a 2-mile loop around my neighborhood and it's all hills and it's a real nice walk, you know, and I go by some really creepy stuff. There was an old water collection system that was on the other side of the major road that went through my little neighborhood. And I would walk by it every once in a while, but not by myself. I'd always have Mike with me. I was like, you know what? That thing is so creepy because it's concrete. It's this giant, you know, concrete water storage thing with a concrete top on it. And
yeah, it's creepy.
I don't know.
To see that in the middle of the woods, it's a little bit jarring.
Yeah, exactly. But, and then again, there were times when we hiked up another mountain called Douglas Mountain. And I can't remember what town that was in. It was probably about 30 minutes from my house. And there was like an old cistern that was in the ground with a lid on, with a roof on it and an old well. I'll send those pictures to you guys too.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Put them up.
Yeah. And like nothing ever happened there. And like my friend Mike, he's, you know, crazy curious. He's like, I want to see how deep the cistern is. So he grabs a tree branch and he's sticking his arm in the little window. And I'm like thinking, I'm seeing all these bad things happen. I'm like, something's in there.
He's pulling back a stump and it's going to be, yeah.
I know, right? I was like, something's in there. It's going to just grab onto your arm and yank you in there. And so I told him, I was like, once you feel the bottom with that stupid tree branch, let's go.
Yeah.
And he could never find the bottom with it though. But anyway, it's like super neat looking anyway. And
yeah, Maine's beautiful. I actually went up and had a hunting trip about maybe 15 years ago. I went up in November and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really, but the people are interesting. We actually met this guy next door. His name was Dickie. There was this guide next door. His name was Dickie Watson. And this guy actually joined, the Y so he could go down and take a shower in the little town that he was at. I mean, people just, they're real resourceful. They're all about nature and out in the woods and all that other good stuff. It's just a great place to visit.
Yeah, it really is. I love it. Once my time here has come to an end, I'm definitely going back. I just love it there.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I like that. I do.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I don't love the snow, but I don't mind it. It's the winters are they're as hard as you want to make them. Like I have if somebody plows your driveway, you're good to go. It's like $20 to have a short driveway plowed. And you know, typically they plow the roads as soon as the storms come in. The guys are waiting to plow the roads, so it's not like, you know, you can't drive anywhere. And once the snowstorm stops, an hour later you're good to go. Roads are clear.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not like it's that bad. And I'll tell you what, the summers after this summer here in 97 degrees, the summers there are so sweet. Oh my gosh. It never gets humid. I think like in 20 years, I might've used my air conditioner 1 week out of the summer.
Yeah, right. Up there. Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, we really appreciate you coming on. I, you know, thanks for all the stories. I greatly appreciate it. And especially with what happened yesterday. It's huge. Thank you very much.
No, it's all good. You know? Oh, thank you.
You know, definitely keep in touch and let us know if anything else goes on.
For sure.
We'll be here for you. And, you know, we really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you on some of this other stuff we're going to be doing, you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the Facebook. So I clicked on the join the club. So I don't know.
Awesome.
I haven't got on there. So, all right. All right. Cool, guys. Well, have a great weekend.
Yeah.
All
enjoy Rambo.
Thanks, Diane.
See you, Diane. Take
Bye.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that was great.
She was great.
Yeah. Very really gracious to do this the second time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, she doesn't want to put the pieces together and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think there's probably a presence in that cabin. And, you know, it's when she's sitting there at night, it's okay. He doesn't really want to scare her, but hey, you know, where are we going today? Where are we going hiking? Where are we going snowshoeing?
It's possible.
You know?
It's possible. I'd be curious to see what the history of the cabin was.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, just to kind of look it up. And I know she didn't know, so I didn't want to ask her, but it would be interesting to do a little bit of research and understand the history of the cabin. Who built it? Was there a family? Was it a bunch of hunters? Because it could be multiple humans, right, hanging out. So it'd be interesting to know that history, especially since she said it wasn't really well taken care of.
Yeah. So we got some more stuff for you guys right after the break.
My name is Mike Familons, and I'm the producer and lead investigator for the show In the Shadow of Big Red Eye. Are you tired of seeing repeat episodes of fake Bigfoot shows? Do you want to join me and my team and see what a true investigation is really like? Then get your knocking stick and let's go. Full episodes of In the Shadow of Big Red Eye can be found by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Sussex County Bigfoot. Also be sure to like In the Shadow of Big Red Eye's Facebook page and follow us on Instagram for giveaways and show updates.
And welcome back, guys. I have Milt Glenn from Abseek and Lighthouse, Director of Educational Programs. And Milt's going to talk to you about a pretty unique opportunity over at the Lighthouse. It's coming up on Saturday, October 26th. Hey, Milt, how you doing?
Mike, I'm good. How are you this morning?
Good. So you got something that I think is pretty unique going on. So you want to tell us about it?
Absolutely. On Saturday,
take your time.
I'm terribly sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
On Saturday, October 26th, we are going to be doing a two-part concept that we've never really done before. We've traditionally always had our Haunted Halloween tour, and we'll be doing one tour at 6 o'clock and one tour at 7 o'clock. And what that is basically, for $20 per person, folks can come in. We take you around the entire property. We even do a tower climb with you, and we tell you about some of the haunted stories of the lighthouse that lead us to believe why we seem to have, you know, paranormal things going on at the lighthouse. Some of the old stories about some of the keepers. We even tell one of the stories about how the Jersey Devil supposedly came to visit the lighthouse at the turn of the century.
Gotcha.
Then at 8 o'clock, we're switching gears. Thanks to the generosity of the New Jersey Researchers of Paranormal Evidence, or NJROPE, from 8 until 10:30, they will be taking groups around, and you'll actually have the opportunity to do a true paranormal investigation. There's limited space. It's $45 per person, and you can either give us a call on the phone at the lighthouse, or you can go onto our website and purchase your tickets through the PayPal. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people that have always wanted to go on a paranormal ghost hunt to actually do it.
Yeah, now these guys, they have their own equipment, so nobody needs to, you know, bring any equipment or anything like that.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. Well, in fact, in the past, when we've talked about this, you know, I'm sure they're even going to allow people to hold some of the equipment, maybe, you know, like heat guns, K2 meters, you know, so you can actually really get an opportunity to get, you know, the meat of the sandwich of a true investigation.
Right. It's a pretty unique opportunity because, you know, a lot of times for the average couple or just a couple people who are friends or interested in it, it's tough to get 10 to 12 people together, you know, to get the money together for doing your own private investigation. So this is a great opportunity, and it's not something that happens all the time. You know, this is going to be probably like a once a year thing for you guys, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's pretty unique. And I might add that anybody that comes out will be able maybe to hang out and investigate with us too, because Tracy and I already signed up. We're
going
to be out there. So, you know, we knew how unique this was, and I think it's a great opportunity. It's a cool location regardless. $45 is a steal for a paranormal investigation nowadays. Believe me, somebody who knows, you know, so I think, you know, it's a great opportunity for families, for, you know, just couples or whatever, where you don't have to worry about getting together 10 or 12 people. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's a great opportunity for families. You know, I've been associated with the lighthouse for 8 years, and I can honestly say that whatever seems to want to make the lighthouse their home, none of my volunteers, none of the staff have ever been maliciously touched. We've never been, you know, hurt. None of us have had any experiences like that. Our experiences have always been positive, things that we can honestly say, you know, I may not have believed in the beginning, but there's things that go on that I can't quite explain. So, yeah, bring the family. It is definitely a family evening. And as you said, $45 a head is a steal.
Yeah, for a paranormal investigation. So last time you were on the show, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the overall experiences and what goes on at the lighthouse, but you actually had a couple pretty interesting experiences that we wanted to bring you on this Halloween special to talk about. And, you know, one of them was your full body apparition experience. Can you share that with us?
I sure can. From what I understand, that's considered the holy grail in the investigation.
Yes, it is.
I guess I'm going to go back probably about 2 years ago. You know, the lighthouse doesn't officially open to the public until 11 in the morning. But as an administrator, I still need to get there at 9 a.m. to, you know, open things up and, you know, start doing my desk work. On the property, we have the original oil house that the lighthouse keepers used to store the kerosene in so they could keep the, you know, the kerosene lamps that lit the light burning all night. I had opened up the door, and as the door swings open, the light switch to illuminate the oil houses back in the corner. So I open up the door, I walk around the door itself to get to the light switch, and there in the corner, bent over as if he was actually pouring oil, was a gentleman wearing coveralls, had a scraggly beard that I'm going to say went down to mid-chest. And all I can say is I must have startled whatever entity it was, because he immediately stood up and I saw him in, you know, full stand. I'm going to say it was about maybe 6'3", 6'4". Our eyes locked, and then he vanished.
Wow.
Just like that.
So when you first turned that corner, were you thinking maybe it was actually a real person and maybe you were, you know, it was time to call ACPD?
When I first turned that corner, I'm thinking, hey, it's another day, all right? It's time to punch the clock.
Right.
And, you know, we keep the grounds locked. So when we're closed at night, there's no way anyone can actually get onto the property. We're surrounded by, you know, an 8-foot fence. So right. Unless you're a heck of a broad jumper, you're not getting in there.
Right.
So when I saw this person, I just froze. I didn't know what to think. All senses of reality just stopped. And it wasn't until, you know, the entity vanished that all of a sudden, you know, the brain starts kicking in and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah, that must have been a heck of an experience. So you got any other things that may
as
have happened to you?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Okay.
As director of education, it is my job to be the representative when paranormal groups, you know, rent out the lighthouse for an evening to do an investigation.
Sure.
I had a group years ago, and it was a small group. All they really had were K2 meters, that and 360 voice recorders. And all night long, nothing was happening. We were inside, we were outside, absolutely nothing was happening. So I guess it's about the last half hour of their rental time, and they decided to go out to our parking lot area. Now, the parking lot was where the original life-saving station was. Now, for those people who aren't familiar with what lifesavers were, every lighthouse had a life-saving station, and the lifesavers were basically the predecessors of today's Coast Guard.
Right.
When a ship was in peril, they would grab their boats and they would row out and save as many people as they could. And the truth was that many lifesavers actually lost their own lives while trying to save the lives of others. Mm-hmm. So we were standing there in the parking lot, and I asked if I could borrow one of the K2 meters. I figure, you know what? I work here. They know me. They know I've got a job to educate the people about the lighthouse. So I just started asking questions, almost kind of like a 20 questions kind of routine. Now, is there anyone here that would like to make contact? I work here. You know I'm serious about the job that I do. I'm not here to make fun of you. I just want to know if there's anyone here that would like to make their presence known. And a few seconds later, the K2 meter actually lit up. So I did a repeat question. Okay, I just saw you light this up. Would you please light up the K2 meter again for me? And it lit up on command. So through the process of asking questions, we discovered that the entity that was there was in actuality at one time a lifesaver of the Absecon Lighthouse. And that gentleman lost his life while trying to save another sailor. And I just got so emotional from, you know, the responses that I said to him, look, I know that it may be decades late, but I want to thank you personally for making the ultimate sacrifice to save someone else's life. And Mike, I'm telling you, that K2 meter lit up for at least a good 2 or 3 minutes, almost as if that entity was giving me a hug for recognizing what he had done. And when the meter finally turned itself off and the lights went off, that was it. We tried a couple more times to make contact, but it was done. So I don't know if I helped that entity cross over to the other side.
That's a good question.
I don't know if, you know, all he needed was recognition for what he'd, I don't know, but I just felt that in my own way, I made a connection with someone who did something that none of us would probably ever have to do in our lives. He made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. And you showed him respect, you know, and I'm sure these entities are the same as people. They're motivated in different ways. You know, I've been on a lot of investigations and, you know, sometimes the show and respect thing works, and I hate to say it, sometimes you got to, you know, provoke a little bit. So, you know, I've seen it go both ways, but that's a great story, man. Thanks for sharing it.
So, absolutely, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So Saturday, October 26th, we got the Haunted Lighthouse Tours, 6 and 7 p.m., $20 per person, and NJ Rope takes is it NJ Rope taking you around, or is it just
No, actually, okay. NJ Rope will be there to answer questions, but it's actually our volunteers that will be taking people around.
Okay, and then at 8 o'clock, NJ Rope comes in, and the paranormal investigation, which I'm really looking forward to, and actually looking forward to meeting up with you, because we haven't actually, you know, we live
that this is true
a mile away,
it's
and still haven't been
phone calls and them. Correspondence, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it, man. And it's NJ Rowe, Paranormal Investigation, $45 per person. I can tell you guys that's not something that you normally get. I see prices of $60, $90. When I went down and did Trans-Allegheny, it was $100. You know, that's kind of where it is nowadays. $45 is a great price, man.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'll be the first one to tell you, when paranormal groups come and rent out the lighthouse, it's $100 an hour, and it's a minimum of 4 hours.
Yeah,
so, as you said, this is a steal.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, too. And, it, you know, just normally you guys are open, what, Thursday through Monday?
Thursday through Monday, correct. We're closed to the public on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Awesome, awesome. Well, brother, thanks a lot for coming on tonight, man. I really appreciate it. Best of luck.
Absolutely, my friend.
Filling this up, and we'll see you guys on the 26th. Hold on 1 second, Milt. Everybody, we're back with John. John is a haunter. John lives in southwestern Pennsylvania. He's got he actually works at a haunt there, and he's got some stories for us. So, hey, John, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys tonight?
Good, man. Welcome on.
Thank you.
So, you are out there in southwestern Pennsylvania. What's the name of your haunt?
We used to be called Haunted Hills Estate. Now we are known as Haunted Hills Estate Scream Park. Just a little rebranding, I guess you could call it.
I like it. I like the rebrand.
Yeah, where's it located?
We are in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the haunt?
It's a 100-acre farm, been around for well over 100 years. About late 1800s, early 1900s is about the time period here that it was built in. We have three attractions in there. You have Legends, which is your typical haunted house. It's a walkthrough, takes about 45 minutes to get through it, of two floors of the, of Legends. Also a little bit of the backyard. Then you come around and you see across the midway, called the Chamber of Chills. This year, or the attraction's name is the Imperium. Kind of like an old school military base, if you would, is how we decorated it.
Oh that's cool. Scary.
Yeah.
And it's a mix of steampunk comes and meets the Terminator is pretty much what it is.
I like that.
I can't describe it any other way. It's steampunk and the Terminator all in one.
That's awesome.
And you have all these crazy, I guess you call super soldier test subjects. The time period that we posted in was was supposed to be around the Cold War time. So we got all these different experiments going on a super soldiers and quote unquote test weapons. And my character walks around this massive, it's an air cannon that's supposed to be hooked up to the air compressor and all that. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. There was a little bit of a delay getting to that part. So I walk around on with this thing, and whenever you turn the corner, that's the first thing you see is the barrel of that gun.
Oh, wow.
People are looking at me going, uh-oh.
And there's one more you said? There's three?
Yeah, there's the third one. And this one, and this is where I got my start at the estate. I call this attraction my home, and that is the Challenge Trail. It's the most unique attraction we have. It's what sets us apart from everybody else. It's an hour walk through the woods. Over different spots, we have different little buildings that we've put there, and some of the stuff was already there when the estate was purchased. I'm not going to say where, but it's an hour walk, and you have to stop at different points and complete challenges. Not only that, you have to complete the challenges, but you also have to be looking over your shoulder because you have your flag football as well as a haunted house and an escape room all in one.
Oh, wow.
So you have to walk through the woods trying to protect your flags from the creatures that are lurking in the shadows.
Gotcha.
And solve the puzzles. Right. Wow, that's awesome.
That's almost like an escape room type thing.
Yeah, that's what he says, like an escape room and flag room football. And that is too cool. So when does the hunt run? What's the time of the year that it runs, and what are the hours?
This was our second weekend of operation. We opened on the Friday the 13th. Go figure.
Yeah, right.
we would run through the first weekend of November. However, we decided to add an extra weekend since the first weekend of November this year is Day of the Dead. So we are going to still have normal operation hours on Friday, Saturday. And I think maybe Sunday, I can't remember, doing like Day of the Dead Festival. I'm looking at the schedule for that now. It's the first weekend of November, so we're going to have that going on. And then the second weekend in November is Lights Out. Now, Lights Out, a lot of other haunts have done this, and it's you walk through the dark of the attraction. You get a glow stick, and the actors are allowed to touch you.
Oh, wow.
That's standard Lights Out. However, ours is a little different. Not only are we allowed to touch you, we give you a glow stick, you sign the waiver, give you a good look and a good little kick in the ass. But on top of that, we can send you back through the attraction and through the actor hallways, doorways you didn't know were there that you thought were sealed off. We've tied people on the chairs. We've thrown them in coffins. I have a story about that, which is hilarious.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
We put pretty much any way we can make you feel uncomfortable, nervous, any way we could even get at you to pee your pants and scrap your pants, whatever. We are going for the complete scare factor of this.
My heart's racing just listening.
Yeah. And that's what we do. It's the fun stuff that we do there. And I didn't understand Lights Out my first year. And then I understood it the following year once I actually was inside the attraction and just running around chasing people around. I'm like, oh, so this is what it's all about. Now I'm having some fun. Now I get it.
That's your reward for a long season, right?
Well, we're recording this at the beginning of October, but we're actually going to put this out. Now you've convinced me. I'm actually going to put it out mid-October.
Yeah.
Right. So we get a little bit of run-up for you guys. And then I'll have to get together with you, make sure we put some stuff up for the Facebook group and stuff like that. We have a fair amount of listeners out there in Southwest Pennsylvania and a lot are around Pittsburgh, so we can get them steered your way.
Let's get hold of Aiden because he's the marketing director.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll definitely, direction.
We'll definitely put something up for you guys. So you over the course of this haunting, you've had some interesting stories. So we'll let you go. What do you got?
So let's see here. Let's go with the one from my second year of working there. But before I get into that, I'm actually gonna. You know what? I'm gonna tell this how it happened in order. It was the first night I was working there. So I'm in the Challenge Trail, well, the old Challenge Trail, if you would, now, up on the far end of the corner of the woods. Now, I was being taken down there by the other actors to get shown where I need to go. Oh, and they're all like, oh, this place is haunted, and you're going to see stuff in the woods on slow nights. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. Or I'm the new guy, you're trying to scare me.
Right.
Now, I've seen ghosts as a kid and stuff before, or at other places, but that's a story for another time. But in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I wonder if this place really is haunted. Now, I go my first 2 weeks of the season, nothing out of the ordinary. Like, I'd hear, or like, twigs getting snapped or leaves rustling behind me.
Right.
I'm in the woods. There's deer, there's squirrels. It could be anything. Until one night. I didn't have one of the pop-out scare actors around me. Well, at the normal spot, that I should say.
Right.
And I just reset my spot in the woods, and I'm getting ready for the next group. I sit down to take a drink, and I look across the path, and I see what looks like one of the little girls that actually worked up in Legends. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I turn and I go, what are you doing down here? You're not, this isn't your attraction. Get back up the hill.
Phew.
And then two things pop into my head. First off, why would she be down here in the first place? Second of all, it's Sunday night. She has school in the morning. She doesn't work Sunday nights.
Oh.
I turn around to confront her. She is gone. There is no footsteps. There is no trace of nothing. And I got a cold chill.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Normally, the smart thing would have been to run to the actor that's about 30 feet away. No, I took off running like a bat out of hell, down the hill.
Well, a full-body apparition will do that to you.
Football field away, and he looks at me and goes, dude, you look like you just seen a ghost. I said, that's just because I have.
Wow.
He goes, those are stories. I'm like, dude, look at my face. Would I be coming down here panting and frantic like this?
Right.
We get back to the costume room in the actor's area, and we tell them what happened. They're like, you didn't know about this place being haunted? We're like, is it too late to resign? That was the only thing that happened that year. Now we go over to the following year. So I go from being in the back of the woods to the front of the woods. I'm out in the middle of the field. It's a slow night. It's Friday night. And we're right in the middle of what I call football center. Because there is literally five high schools within a 30-minute driving range of the haunt.
Right.
And it happened to be that night of the year where all five teams were home. That meant we aren't seeing hardly anybody till later.
Right.
So it comes up being that time of the night. It's real slow. I'm talking with a couple of the other actors from the next challenge before me, or after me, excuse me. And I start seeing the light coming up the field. I'm thinking it's one of the other guys coming up from the end of the trail. I see the lantern, and I can hear footsteps walking. Probably gets from me to, I'd say, about another 30, 40 yards or so away, where I can start to make out what it is, and it fades away. I just see in the floating lantern. Now, none of us know the story about who or what it is, but we've seen on the slower nights, we've seen it.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a place that's 100 years old, you know? I mean, God knows what's going on there over time.
Well, we've talked to the boss, and she's even said, and they found when they were digging up stuff to put attractions in, they found like arrowheads, they found Civil War style musket balls and stuff. So we don't know who or what's happened in this field.
Right. Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff, man.
I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff there, but I've also gone to other haunted places and some of the stuff I've seen there. That's the one thing I do like about our haunt is towards the end of the year on like a random Thursday night, we go to another haunt. And still the one this day that sticks out in my mind, I wasn't even with them on this trip. This was on my family vacation. I was at Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and let me just say, some of the stories I've heard about that place, yeah, those are true. Oh, my.
Yeah, we visited.
Well, I bet you've probably never seen something crazy like I did. There's pictures on my Facebook that I can send you guys.
Oh, nice.
My sister, it was the summer before her senior year. One of her senior pictures taken at the asylum. That's the kind of person my sister is. She is definition of sick and twisted.
Brotherly love.
Hey, she'll admit to it too. I take that as a compliment.
Exactly.
So there's one spot we decided to take a picture. I thought it was a cool spot. It was in the corner of the backside of the building right before we went back in. And I snap a picture, and I didn't notice it at first until I got home and was putting all the pictures up. I look inside the corner of the window off to her right, and I make out a silhouette of a little girl. I'm sitting there going, I'm looking at it. It's not any of my other siblings. Doesn't match up with, like, the outfits, the hairstyles. Nope. Now, shortly after I take that picture, we're walking down the hallway trying to catch up with the group because we're the last tour of the day, so they're closing everything up as we go. Right. I feel pull on my shirt. Think it's my sister needs something. So I turn to her and I say, what's up? She goes, I didn't do nothing. I'm like, all right, whatever. Maybe her hand got my hold of my shirt.
Right.
What happened? We get another few feet away. It happens again. Now I'm like, I know it's you. You're the only person here. There's me and her arguing back and forth. I watch as my shirt gets pulled a third time. Out of nowhere.
Wow.
And her standing there going, what the? Time to go? Yep, let's go. And we beat feet down the hallway until we caught up the rest of the group. Now, I don't know who or what it was, but we all agree we think it was the little girl that's in the picture. Now, my mom has seen all the pictures I took in there. She liked that one. And there's one other photo I took. I was just pointing and shooting and taking pictures of everything. And on the, I believe it was the third floor. I failed to notice that my sister was in there, and she doesn't even remember being in the room. My other sister.
Right.
Mom said, that is one of the best pictures you've ever taken, but I will not put those two pictures in this house.
That bad, huh?
She was afraid there was something. She's convinced that there's something in those photos, and I get an eerie feeling every time I look at them, too.
Yeah, we did the, I guess you guys did the hunt there. You did the, you do the overnight hunt?
No, well, this was a daytime walkthrough of just like the history tour.
Right. We're actually planning a patron episode, on our overnight, trip there. And we experienced a lot of crazy stuff. It was a challenge for us to find a place to stay near there because it's so, you know, that place is really in the middle of nowhere. People don't understand that. I mean, that town was built
around. When I tell people Weston is literally in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, I mean it.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's nothing for miles there until you get into Morgantown or not even Morgantown, Fairmont.
Yeah. So you understand our challenge. I mean, we had to find a place, right? So we actually wound up looking on Airbnb, and luckily there was a lady that had 20 acres up on top of a mountain. She had a couple gas wells and she had a cabin built up there. So we got that place for the weekend. And I think we were going in on Saturday night?
It was a Saturday night.
So we were headed in on Saturday night, got in there on Friday night. So going up to her place is a bunch of switchbacks. You know, it's like 10 switchbacks up to this cabin. And then you're up on kind of the top of a hill. So we charge up all the equipment. You know, I've got, all the audio recorders, EMF, all that good stuff. So we charge all that up and, we're headed out Saturday night and we come down the hill and there's like one of those little swing gates so nobody can go up and you just padlock it. So I get out of the car to go padlock the gate, and she's in the car. And I go and I shut the gate, I padlock the gate, and I'm headed over to the car, and she's waving her hands. And I'm like, what are you waving your hands at? So I get alongside the car, and she rolls down the window, and she goes, look.
Turn around and look.
So I look behind me, and there are three dogs in a triangular formation behind the car. One Rottweiler, one German Shepherd, and one other big-ass dog. And they look hungry. Yeah, man.
Oh, it was scary.
So they're right behind us, right? And we had our two dogs with us. So I think they knew there were other dogs, you know, around. They could probably smell them. But, yeah, they're like in a triangular formation right behind the car. So
they're looking at us like one false move and you're lunch.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, and you know it's all trailers around there, right? You know? I mean, it's all just trailer homes and stuff. So we jump in the car and we head out, and they followed us down in the forest. They jumped down in the forest and they followed the car out
for several miles. It was the creepiest thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and that was before we got to the
place. Right, and that was before we went to the insane asylum, which then got creepier. It was crazy. So then
we went to orientation, which is great, right? You go in and the place opens up. I think we went in at like 8 o'clock at night, and then you can go till I think 4 o'clock in the morning.
We made it to three.
And it's $100. It's the best $100 I ever spent. But we went in there and we got several pictures. I'll have to send some your way. We got shadow people. We got a picture of a full body apparition on one of the floors. But the craziest floor that we went through was the third floor where the solitary confinement was.
How did I know that's what you were going to say? Yeah, man.
Dude, because you've been there.
John, that place is crazy. We went in. It was just, and what's great about when you go in the overnight trip, you know, the place is sort of kind of got like four wings, right? So every floor has like four places where you can kind of go off left, right, you know, you're not crowded. There's only groups of like 12. So it was she and I in one group. So we just waited for everybody else to go one direction and we would go to the other. So we went down to that solitary confinement area, which is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And we're coming back down out of there, man. And there was a folding chair at the end of it before you walk back into the center area where the staircase was. So we actually were sitting there, and I had the audio recorder going, and we were listening to a woman at the end of the hallway just crying her eyes out, just crying. And it was loud as hell. And it did not record on my audio recorder. She and I could hear it in real time. But it would not record on the audio recorder. But we got upwards of about 12 EVPs that night that I'm going to put out on that Patreon special. But that place, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, is worth every penny. That place should...
The daytime tour was enough for me to want to come back. Now, you brought up the third floor, and when you were starting to tell that story, I'm like, I got a feeling they're going to say the third floor in solitary confinement.
Yep.
I remember we had gone down to like the ballroom floor up there, which I still think is crazy. Hey, you're having your high school prom there, and the craziest of the crazy are locked up right there.
Exactly.
And so again, I'm taking pictures. I'm looking around. I swear mom must be right. Cause I have a sixth sense somehow. And I get this feeling I'm being watched. I turn around, I see a figure, probably about the third, fourth door down that hallway, is looking around the door, looking down at us. And I think it noticed that I figured out it was there because I started moving down that hallway. And I decide, normally people run away from this kind of stuff. I run for it.
We're the same way.
And I take off down there. I get to where it was. I'm looking around I'm standing there. And I know you're not supposed to provoke them, but I'm sitting there going, where'd you go? Quit hiding. Come on out. But I think also because the tour guys are dressed up as the, I guess you could say, the psych doctors and stuff.
Right.
He saw him and thought, uh-oh. They're coming for me.
Right.
Yeah. Dipped.
That very well might be exactly what's going on.
And I took off after it because I wanted to see what was going on. And me being a journalist major or I'm forever taking notes, taking pictures. So they probably thought, oh, great, here we go again, another news reporter coming to write about us.
Right.
So I might have been a trigger. The tour guide might have been a trigger. I'll never know. And if I could, if I ever get the chance to go do the overnight stay again, I'm doing it.
Yeah, man. We're trying to get together a plan to go back too. Maybe we can all hook up at some point and go down. It's just a fantastic tour.
Yeah, like I've been itching to do that one. Another one I want to go to because I didn't get a chance to actually explore it. I was Moundsville State Penitentiary.
I would love to do that one too. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to do that.
I actually was in there for the for their haunted house. Go figure, a haunter visiting another haunt. But the one part that creeped me out, because I to this day I still feel like there was something there. The first part of your tour in the haunt is they lock you down in the jail cells. They lock the jail cell with you and about three or four other people in there. So they're all standing around. I'm leaning up against the wall, and I just got like this cold feeling on my right side, standing next to the bed. I'm like, we're not alone.
Right.
And of course, nobody believes me. They think I'm just trying to creep them out. And well, partially yes, but at the same time, no, I'm not. And you brought up getting creeped out by dogs. There was something, there's a place up my way. Nah, technically you're not supposed to be up there. Called Gallagher Woods. There's an old cemetery up there. And the story goes, this guy, up in the area that I'm from, which would be like Chalk Hill, High Pile areas. And they were up there, and random travelers or lost, I guess you could say, the runaways would end up coming up here, and he would behead them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a gruesome sound right there off the bat.
Yeah.
So eventually he was caught, convicted of murder, and hung. And where did they hang him? Near the cemetery of Gallagher Woods. Now, he has been seen on both ends of the road, on Gallagher Road, but mostly near the cemetery. So one night, me and my friends decided to go up and check it out. Well, sure enough, my sixth sense kicked in, and I could feel a presence standing off to my left near the trees, the bigger trees, I should say, where some of the older graves are. So we decided, all right, some of our friends were starting to get creeped out, so we decided to head out. We went up the road and dropped my friends off that lived at the other end and turned back and head the other way. Well, sure enough, we get it right near the cemetery. And this dog-like thing ran out in front of the car. And right as it did, it was enough light to cast a shadow, but our headlights cut out right as it got to the front of the car. And it was running on both of its back's legs and dipped into the woods.
So this thing is actually up on its hind legs?
It was on its hind legs, but looked like a dog or a wolf kind of thing up towards the front.
So it was almost like a dog man type thing.
Yeah, almost like a werewolf kind of thing, if you would.
Holy shit.
Dogman sighting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the first.
John, how tall was it, John? Was it big?
I'm 6'5", and I'd say that thing had about 6 inches on me.
Ooh.
I would say so that was big.
It was a big one. And, of course, my friends come to a screeching halt, lights come back on. They're all looking around at each other like, what is that? Meanwhile, I'm trying to get out of the back seat to go find out what it is. And all I had on me that night, I can tell you exactly, it was two pocket knives and a buck knife.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't get the job done.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, first deer rifle.
Yeah. Well, out there, you're kind of near the Chestnut Ridge, too. You got all that stuff going on out there on Chestnut Ridge. Dogman's a big deal out where you are, man. I mean, there's a lot of Dogman sightings out there.
Well, there's people that said they've seen Bigfoot up in this area, too.
A lot of Bigfoot, yep.
I make the joke, I'm like, Bigfoot ain't around. I'm Bigfoot because I wear a size 14 too. Like, you ever seen my footprint out in the mud? Good grief, that thing's humongous.
Yeah. There's a lot of Dogman sightings out there too, though, man. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm like I'm in one of the centers of like the most haunted areas. Like, just haunted houses alone. Oh, Pennsylvania is tied for second. You have Ohio, who's got number one in the entire country, right next door.
Yeah.
And Lord knows the stories that every place has. Like, everybody's got a story to tell.
Yep.
Well, down here on campus, everyone tells ghost stories about Nemacolin Castle. And I don't know any of the stories. I've never been there. Like, I'm curious to see what's there.
So this Gallagher Woods place, why do they have it like cordoned off? Why are they giving you guys a hard time about being up there if it's just a cemetery? And
it's a private property.
Okay. All right. So it's a bigger land around it that somebody owns, and then that's a portion of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my friends that went up there are friends of the family, so if we went up, wasn't that really big of a deal.
Right.
But I haven't been up there in ages, and you know how it is. You get out of high school, the friends that you used to run with.
Yeah.
Some of them you don't see that often anymore.
Right. Yeah. There's some pretty good stories, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I could write a book. I could sit here all night and talk till my phone died.
Well, I got to tell you, if I was imagining how horrifying it'd be to walk around that trail and see the gun barrel, but now it's even more horrifying knowing that you're 6'5". You must command a crazy presence out there on that trail, man.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm not on the trail this year. I haven't been down. This is the second year in a row that I have not been in the woods, and it makes me a little disappointed because I miss being down there.
I'll bet.
Yeah, like it's fun being down there just because
So, John, you've got some great stories. It's been a lot of fun talking to you tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. What's the name of the haunt again?
It is Haunted Hills Estate Scream Park.
Okay.
You guys want more information? We have a YouTube channel. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're also on Snapchat. All that is, it's literally just Haunted Hills Estate. You'd search it, or you can also.
So, pretty good show. Pretty good. Great show. First episode Halloween special. And Diane, you had Milt and John. Guys, get out there and get check out that thing at Epsecon Lighthouse. I'm telling you, that is not going to happen again for another year at least. $45 to do a 2.5-hour investigation with a very professional group. Good opportunity for you guys. Also out there in southwestern Pennsylvania, if you want to check out John's Haunt in Uniontown, you know, go ahead and do that. We love doing that stuff. Fall is in the air. It's cold. Made some chili yesterday.
I'm finally okay with it being fall because it is October. Before October, I don't want it to be fall.
Right. Water's still warm here.
It is. It's like 75 degrees.
Yeah, you can tell it's going to get cold quick, and that's fine. It's hoodie weather, man. It's Halloween. It is hoodie weather. So Thanks,
speaking
guys,
of, we
us.
Have hoodies available on our redbubble.com. Yeah, so yeah. If you check out our webpage or our Facebook page, there are links to our redbubble.com, and you can grab a hoodie or a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, an apron, a cell phone cover. And I did this on purpose. We have socks and leggings.
Nice.
Right? So check
material.
It out.
Yeah. So, as always, if you guys have a cryptid sighting, a haunting, a UFO sighting, anything strange, get together with us. Reach out to us on the Facebook page, which is Wicked Garden Podcast. You can message us there. You can also get in touch with us at
WickedGardenPodcast@gmail.com.
And our new hotline, 609-800-5130. Thank those two new patrons. You guys make the show happen. Everybody have a great a couple weeks. We'll be back with another Halloween special, and then also a interesting investigation at the Carranza Memorial. So stay tuned.